Well, church, it is hard to cry when your parents are bawling like babies, isn't it? I just want to say, I've been in this church probably a year or 2 years, and I have never seen a pastor as powerful as this man right here. This man. Please, stand up, Pastor. Please. Pastor Johnny is a powerful man. He comes in my room when I was conscious, and I don't remember anything at Lexington Medical Center. I know lots of you remember me. I don't remember you. I'm sorry. But he comes in my room at MUSC in Charleston and just shouts, praying, shouting, holding my legs, saying, "These legs will move. God will give movement to these arms, these limbs." And I'm just laying there like, can't move my legs. You know, my legs are in pain. I got nerve pain. He's just grabbing onto it. And I'm just like, yes, I can feel this power. And you know what? A few days later, my legs, I could slightly twitch my my knees. And instead of making this a pity party and telling you about how bad everything was, I'm going to tell you what God taught me through all this. Because, Mom said she was the flight. I'm the fight. I'm the one who's going to come out kicking, punching, screaming, biting. That's me. So I'm just going to tell you what I learned through this whole fiasco that I've had to deal with. Appreciate all things, big things and small things. When you turn on the faucet, appreciate that God gives you clean water to drink. There are tons of people in the world that don't have that. But you know what? The happiest moment of me being at MUSC was when I got ice chips. I told my mom, I was like, "Your life must be sad when you are given ice chips and that makes your day." I was like, you know, it's little things like that. And I started to appreciate small things like that. So when things got better and better, I appreciated everything that I had. God gives us everyday things that we really often take for granted. And it's hard to really grasp how much we take them for granted, so they're taken away. And so I appreciated the tiniest movement in my leg at 3 in the morning when I couldn't sleep, even if it was a muscle spasm, you know, just my leg moving. Made me feel like I'm going to be able to walk again, even though the doctors are saying, you know, "I don't know if your legs will ever move again." And I would sit there and I would do this with my fingers saying, "You know, I'll be able to play guitar one day. Come on, come on." And I would pray. And when my hands would get tired, I would sit there and just pray. I'd say, "God, I know you can do this. I know you can bring me through. You've already brought me out of a coma. I know you're going to take me all the way." And I would thank God for a good night's sleep when it very seldom came, because I'm a night owl, and in the hospital, it's funny, there's so many beds and no one sleeps. And I would thank him when I woke up in the morning. I would say to God, you know, "Thank you for allowing me to live another day." Because that was something that I might not have had. Anyway, I would thank God for being able to put my own clothes on myself, being able to shower, being able to bathe myself, eat. Good Lord, when I ate my first meal, it was like euphoria in my mouth. I was sitting there, I never liked spinach or mustard greens. I was sitting there eating them, I was like, "Oh, these are so good." But all these things that God slowly gave back to me, he made me appreciate, because I had had them taken away. And I realized that he blessed us with these things all along that we never really took advantage of, we never really thanked him for. And this one's going to sound pretty cliche, so don't get mad at me, but stop to smell the roses. I hadn't seen daylight, except for a small crack of a window in the hospital, for about two months, I would say. Maybe a little longer than 2 months. And when I got to Shepherd Center for rehab, I was in a motorized wheelchair. I had no movement besides for just a little twitch in my legs. And I was hearing about this secret garden. I was like, you know, where's this secret garden at? So me and Mom go searching around, and we finally found it, and we go out there, and I'm just like, "Oh, fresh air, trees, squirrels." You know, I was so in awe of God's creation, because I hadn't seen it in 2 months. I just saw concrete walls and lights and, you know, stuff like that. And so I would sit and watch. They had a koi pond. I would sit and watch the fish just play around themselves. And they had a garden with all these roses, beautiful flowers. And I would just put my wheelchair on the slowest speed, which was very unlike me, And I would just go as slow as I could by all the flowers, just looking at them, saying, you know, this was not done by just some big bang. No, this just didn't pop into existence. This was made by a creator. This is something that is masterfully designed, and I appreciate that. God put that on the earth for us to enjoy. And I learned that, you know, I would walk by, you know, trees and beautiful flowers and say, yeah, that's pretty nice. Just keep walking. But when I did it for that first time, I was in awe of everything that God had made. My third point is God really has a plan. And if we don't know it yet, he's still at work. And he will work through us if we allow him to. And I couldn't understand why this happened to me. For the longest time, I would lay in the bed and honestly just cry. I couldn't talk. I would just move my lips. And I remember mom coming to the side of the bed and talking to me. And she's like, it's going to be okay, son. It's going to be okay. And I look at her and I go, why did this happen to me? I start crying. I asked her, why did this happen to me? And she said, son, I really don't know. But God's going to bring you through it. And now, after this has all occurred, I realize that this happened to me for a reason. It wasn't that, you know, it was just bad luck. Because they said, you know, the chances of you getting the illness that you've got that takes away your nerve function, your muscles, you lost 50 pounds, that illness, acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, that the chance of me getting that was about 1 in 8 million. Or 8 in 1 million, sorry. And, you know, that happened to me because God wanted to show that he is still in control. He is still powerful. He can still heal just like he did in the Bible days. He might not, you know, come down and just hit the person's head and raise them from the dead, but he does it through doctors, through prayer, through his power. And I was in so much pain and confusion, really, why this had all happened to me. I didn't know, you know. Maybe I did something. Was I, you know, disobeying God? What was happening? I didn't know if, you know, I was cursed with this. But now I realize, no, it's a blessing, really. I learned so many lessons. God is still continuing to heal me. My legs, I mean, I wasn't able to stand up here and talk to you a month ago. I would be in my wheelchair right now, sitting down, because I didn't have the strength in my legs to stand for this long. And God will work through you if you just let him. It might not be what you want, but it will end up to glorify him. And our God is a God of miracles. Just as in the Bible days, you know, like I said, God still works in people's lives, their home, their health. Only now, instead of arriving at the scene and, you know, healing the lame, the blind, the dead man, God works through doctors, nurses, prayer, himself, just asking, you shall receive. And that is what we did. We asked a lot. And you guys asked for me. I thank you so much for that. I met a guy in a patient information class at Shepherd Center. And I got there about 30 minutes early. So the room was dark. There was, you know, like a black light on the wall. I'm sitting in there kind of feeling weird. Like, you know, are we here? Are we supposed to be here? And this guy rolls in. This black guy rolls in. And his name, he starts talking to me immediately. You know, he's super nice. And he says, my name's Don Sanders. What's your name? I said, Colton Beasley. And he starts telling me his story. He got Guillain-Barré and lost complete function. He said he could move a few fingers. But he said he was in a coma for 3 months. And sometime during that coma, you know, he said, I could hear, I could do everything but move. My eyes were open. I was seeing all these people come cry by my bedside. And he said, I just asked God. I said, God, please take me to heaven. I'm tired of being like this. I want to go. And he said, he fell asleep one night, and he thinks that God took him to heaven. He told me, he said he saw purple trees, a golden river. You know, he explained to me how he saw heaven. And he said, God said, you know, I cannot take you now. I need you to go back and tell what I've done for you. Tell what I've done for your family. Tell how I've healed you. And he said, you know why God didn't heal me so fast? He said, I would have forgotten. He said, if God just, you know, all right, you're good. You're walking now. That I would have forgotten about this. It would have just been a little speck of my life. He said, now, he said, I can influence people my age. He was probably 50, 55. He said, I can talk to people my age and younger people. He said, but you, it is our job as people who have been raised from the dead almost to tell God or tell people what God has done for them. And Don said, if you don't do that, you are disobeying God. He said, this is what God has done for us. You need to tell everyone. And so Don was a great guy. It turns out, after the teacher comes in, start reading the names off the roll, and she says, Don Sanders, there's no Don Sanders on here. I think you're in the wrong room, sir. And he's going, well, he looks at me and says, well, I met a friend today, Mr. Colton Beasley. He's a miracle. He said, you know what? God meant for us to be here. He said, he put me in the wrong room. He said, he wanted us to meet. And every time I met Don, I said, how you doing, Brother Don? He was the nicest guy I've ever talked to. And probably the biggest thing that I have learned through this entire thing, and the hardest for me to learn, is that faith cannot coexist with doubt. I constantly doubted that I would be able to move my legs. I could lightly twitch them. That was it. They would say, move your toes. And I'd be like, well, I could do it yesterday. I'll try to move my toes. Nothing. Mandy said a lot of times, I would say, Mandy, look, I'm moving my toes. She said, your toes would be sitting still. But I wanted that to happen. And because it wasn't happening immediately, I was impatient. I didn't think it was going to happen. And I constantly doubted. I would pray every night, but I would wake up in the morning saying, my legs aren't working. I got to pull myself around on the bed. Maybe it's not going to happen. And doctor said, I met with my doctor for a conference, and he said, I wish that I could tell you I had a magic pill to make everything good, make your legs work. And he said, but honestly, I don't. The only thing that I can say is, your most healing is going to be in 3 months, maybe a year. So after, 2 or 3 years, no healing. There won't be anything left. And so he said, so since I have nothing else for you, all I can say is, you be a good boy, say your prayers at night to whoever you talk to upstairs, and ask him to do something. And so, I still doubted, because that brought me even lower. I worried myself sick about not being able to move my legs, not being able to play guitar, because I tried and it just did not sound good. And the ability to sing, I had no voice. I had to get scar tissue cut out of my throat right behind my vocal cords. And I kept worrying that I would never completely return to normal, and I was just doubting God's power, basically. So I talked to my dad on the phone, and he was saying, look, you cannot doubt and have faith. He's like, if you have faith, you have to know that it's going to happen. He said, Pastor Johnny came in and prayed with us, and we were all riled up. We were sitting by your bedside while you were in a coma with no responses. And he said, we all prayed, and we knew that you were going to come out of this. He said, we didn't think, we didn't hope, we knew that God was going to bring you out of this. He said, you can't pray and hope. That doesn't work. He said, if you have faith, you know that that's going to happen. And so I talked to Pastor Johnny, and I was trying to muster up the courage to call him, basically. And I told my mom, give me Pastor Johnny's number. So when you text me, I had your number. But I was just waiting to kind of get what I was going to say to you. I don't know. You make me nervous, Pastor. But so I really wanted to talk to him about how much I was doubting what was happening to me. And Pastor Johnny talked to me and he said, Colton, I had a dream about you the other night. He said, I had a dream that you were walking down the street just like you normally were. He said, you had your long hair flowing in the wind. He said, you had a button-up shirt. You had blue jeans on. You had your tennis shoes. He said, you were just strolling down the street. And I said, that is great, Pastor. And he said, God is going to take you to there. God is going to bring you there, and he's going to make you 100% completely normal. He said, I know it. He said, God told me that. And so it's so funny. That night, I dreamed the exact same dream. And for about 3 or 4 nights, until the weekend, I was dreaming that I was walking. I would just have dreams. I was walking around the hospital being like, hey, every night I'd have a different dream. One night I was walking down Dutch Fork. One night I was walking around my neighborhood. Next night I was walking down the hospital. But that weekend, that Saturday, my dad and Mandy and the whole crew comes. And I'm in my wheelchair. I finally got a manual wheelchair because I got the strength in my arms to push it. And all of a sudden, my leg just goes out of the wheelchair. And I'm like, and so like, I'm going to strengthen this up so I can keep doing this. You know what? I was like, this is great. I was on cloud nine. God had done this. And I knew it wasn't something I had done because I didn't, you know, push my leg up or anything. It was just like, all of a sudden, my leg was moving. And I, you know, I had no strength in it. I had to do that. I had to go to therapy and walk on a treadmill that suspended me and took off some of my weight so that my legs could actually bear it. And I would always tell my therapist, I would say, one therapist was telling my dad, she was just like, you know, we can't plan for the best. We have to plan for the worst. And you know what? In some situations, I might agree with that. But I heard her saying that while I was getting water, and I pushed my wheelchair over there, and I said, it is my firm belief that God is going to have me walking before I leave this place. And I said, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that and you can't help me get there, I have no use for you. And I just pushed my wheelchair to my room. And she was just looking there like, he just said that to me? Like, what? I mean, you have to tell them that you what you want to do. And so in therapy, I finally started walked back and saw her, and she was like, oh, you're standing. How are you doing this? I was like, yep. You know, I don't know. God did it. You know, she was like, I didn't know you could walk. Yeah, I can now. You know, I told you it was going to happen. God told me it was going to happen too. And so you can't pray with doubt. That's probably the final thing I have to say. If you have doubt about something, you know, if something's going wrong health-wise or financially, anything in your life, if you pray for that, pray a strong prayer. Don't pray and then say, oh no, you know, I got to do all this stuff to make it happen, because you're not the powerful one. God is. I just want to thank my whole family. That means all of you guys, all my church family, my blood family, and grandparents, father, mom. You guys have prayed so much for me, and I'm very glad that you get to see, and I get to see, how powerful God is and how powerful prayer is. Because honestly, I never believed, not that I didn't believe, but you know, it's kind of hard to believe things until you see them. And when you see a miracle happen, especially to your own self, when you see something like that happen, you know it's real. You don't guess. You don't say, yeah, maybe Jesus did raise the blind or give sight to the blind and raise the dead. You know that happened. So I want to thank all of you guys for praying. I want to thank my parents for staying strong, and my grandparents, my whole family, Serena. I love you guys.